Grace to you and peace from he who was dead, but now lives and reigns in all eternity. The word of God that we joyfully listen to this morning is from the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you that gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen.
I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives who once was dead. He lives my ever-living head.
Jesus died for our sins and rose again on the third day. This is what we have received. There's a story told about Martin Luther how one time when he was in a particularly dark and depressed and foul mood, walking around the house moping, his wife Katie put on all black as though she were mourning. And when Luther saw her, he said, "Who died?" And Katie's response was, "Well, from the way you've been acting, I assumed that Jesus was still dead." Have we forgotten? Have we forgotten that the tomb is empty? Have we forgotten that Jesus rose from the dead? Have we forgotten what we received from our fathers, who received it from their fathers and their fathers before them, all the way back to the apostles, to Paul, to that first Easter morning, that Jesus died for our sins and rose again from the dead? You know, I never thought that Dr. Seuss was real before. But this morning, it sure seems like we are all Who's from Whoville. Except instead of Christmas, it's Easter that has been stolen from us. All the trappings of Easter that we usually rejoice in and use to celebrate are gone. No early morning sunrise service. No colorful dresses, no singing together, "I know that my Redeemer lives." No Easter egg hunt for the kids, no Easter brunch of bacon and eggs. No getting together with our family even. All the trappings of Easter are gone, and in fact, we have even less than they had in Whoville, right? Because we can't even join together hand in hand and sing. Even that has been taken away from us. So the question is, what's left? Is Easter still Easter? If these are the things that made Easter Easter, the brunch and the egg hunt and even the colorful dresses, then Easter was stolen from us long ago. If these are the things that made Easter Easter, then Easter was already empty and pointless and vain. A mere symbolic gesture. We have received something better, haven't we? We have received something deeper, something that no virus, no war, no famine, nothing on this earth can take away from us. We have received that Jesus died for our sins and on the third day rose again from the dead. And therefore, Easter is Easter. And we still rejoice and we still celebrate. Even when all the trappings are gone, we still have Easter. Because we have Jesus. And we rejoice in that. Even in the midst of the darkest, foulest tribulation or depression of our lives, we rejoice in what we have received. That Jesus died for our sins and on the third day rose again. Now I know that Christians are going to be sad. Things happen in life. Bad things happen in life. And some of us even have clinical depression. We have chemicals in our brain that make us sad. It doesn't seem sometimes like there's anything we can do about it. It is foolish to think that just because we're Christians, we're going to walk around with a smile on our lips and a song in our heart 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That just isn't this life in this world. But I also know that no matter how dark, no matter how gloomy, no matter how depressed life gets, we have received this. That Jesus died for our sins and rose again on the third day. I know that my Redeemer lives.
He lives triumphant from the grave. He lives eternally to save. He lives all glorious in the sky. He lives exalted there on high.
This is what we have received. This is also what we preach, that Jesus died for our sins and on the third day rose again. There was one Easter Sunday many years ago when I happened to find myself in London with my sister and her friend. I'm sure no one will be shocked when I tell you there's no CLC church in London, and there's probably a Lutheran church around there someplace, but we didn't know where it was. And so we thought we would go to Westminster Abbey. We would go and listen to their service, not participate, but listen to their service. And so we went, and I sat, and I listened to the service and the sermon. And afterwards, I had one question. One question to ask that pastor. I said, "Did Jesus really rise from the dead?" In the entirety of that Easter sermon, I don't remember hearing one definitive reference to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. This is the same question that the Corinthians ask of Paul, except they ask it seriously. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? And Paul's answer, at least to me, sounds shocked, sounds amazed. How can you ask me that? I gave to you first and foremost, before I preached and taught anything else, I preached to you that Jesus died for our sins and rose again. And I continue to preach it, and not I only, says Paul, but Peter and the other apostles as well. This is what we preach. That which we received. This is what we preach also. The same thing that we receive. That Jesus died for our sins and rose again according to the scriptures. This is the core basic message of every Sunday, not just of Easter Sunday, but of every Sunday, of every sermon. This is the message that I preach not only every Sunday, but every funeral service, every marriage. When I preach for funerals, I don't preach about what a good person that guy was. I give that which I also received, that Jesus died for our sins and rose again on the third day. When I preach at a wedding, I don't make the sermon about the bride or the groom. I make it about this, that Jesus died for our sins and rose again the third day. This is what we received. This is what we preach, and in which we rejoice. That Jesus died for our sins and rose again on the third day. Let us pray. Lord, may it never be that anyone should ever be able to ask of our church, did Jesus rise from the dead? Let this truth, your resurrection, be the truth which lives in our hearts and minds and upon our lips, so that anyone who meets us, if they know nothing else about us, might know this: I know that my Redeemer lives. This is what we believe. This is what we have received, not by the mouth of one or two witnesses, but as Paul tells us, by the mouth of many. First of which, according to the scriptures. Notice how Paul repeats that twice. All this happened according to the scriptures. That is to say that God foretold thousands of years beforehand, dating all the way back to the time of Job, who in the midst of his suffering prophesied concerning the day of Christ's resurrection, I know that my Redeemer lives. And in many other places as well, God, who cannot lie, foretold in the scriptures through the mouth of his prophets that Jesus would die and rise from the dead. He did this so that we might have certainty, so that we might believe, not with a shaky or uncertain hope, but with a sure and certain hope that we will receive that which we wait for, namely, everlasting life. Secondly, this truth was confirmed through the mouth of his apostles, who saw and preached and told how they had seen Jesus, who was dead, alive and risen. And most of these apostles were put to death for their faith. They endured a cruel punishment and even death, and God allowed them to endure such suffering. God allowed his holy apostles to endure such suffering so that we have certainty. Through that suffering, their faith was shown to be sure and certain and solid. Through that suffering, they gave testimony that they had seen the Lord, that they were not preaching lies or deception, but that they knew that Jesus was risen from the dead. And they had not only seen him, but they had sat with him and listened to him and touched him and eaten with him. So that once again, we might believe and preach that Jesus died for our sins and rose again on the third day, and we might believe and preach it with certainty. A solid truth. A foundation which cannot be moved even in the midst of all the storms of this life. And thirdly, says Paul, not just 12, not just a few, but also by the women and by more than 500 of his disciples who saw him alive. And most of them were still alive at this time when Paul wrote. So those Corinthians who doubted, who wondered, did Jesus really rise from the dead, could go and speak to them. And once again, have certainty. The sureness of faith to know with absolute certainty that which we believe, that which we know, that Jesus died for our sins and rose again on the third day. This is what we received. This is what we preach, and this is what we believe, and on which we stand, even today, when we have nothing else to rejoice in on Easter morning. We rejoice in this. I know that my Redeemer lives.